You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
I'm going to read out the end of this text here in 2 Timothy. Starting here in verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, the apostle says, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Jesus, give power by the Holy Spirit to the preaching of your word. Can you all say amen? The scripture here is going to talk about this crown of righteousness. And I was tickled when I was thinking about this phrase, the crown of righteousness, because years ago, my wife and I would be ministering to college students, and we were part of this conference that would happen right around Christmas. We would gather with thousands of college students, usually in an urban setting, and we would just spend days after days worshiping, preaching, discipling. It was awesome. And then we'd go attack these urban towns and go share Jesus. It was super fun. So sort of to help with all of that, we would come up with these themes. So this one year, we decided to talk about this crown of righteousness, and we came up with this phrase called capture the crown. Now, you have to understand that this, in terms of a motif, was very much influenced by the 80s, so I'm really dating myself. So we actually decided to get a bunch of us together and sing a song and make up a song called Capture the Crown. And you've got to be probably over 50 or 40 to know what a cassette tape is. We actually recorded it on a cassette tape, right? And we had a little of this kind of going on, you know, and so a little dated. I'm not going to do any more of those moves for you. We sang this song about capturing the crown. And at the very, very end, there was a couple gals who sort of whispered together like, capture the crown. So anyway, I'm laughing about this as I'm thinking about this phrase, capture the crown. But the truth of the matter is that the Apostle Paul is telling us to do just that. There is a crown of righteousness that God has in store for you. Ponder that. Internalize it. A crown of righteousness that Christ has in store for you. And he's asking you to grab it and capture it, possess it, that it's actually yours. But in the exchange of faith, there's an action on yours as God extends it out to you for you to grab hold of this crown of righteousness. And it has power in your life. It has answered prayer in your life. It has blessing in your life. But you must actually capture it. Paul is talking here, if you want to know what a deep relationship with the Lord looks like, it looks like this. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, the apostle says. He's being poured out. If you want to look me in the eye, or look even God more importantly in the eye, and say that you want a deeper relationship with God. You want to experience God more. You want to know him. You want to know his love. You want to know his truth. You want to know his power. And you have no intention of allowing him to pour into your life and then squeeze out all that he poured in for his gospel. Well, you're in for great disappointment. Not going to happen. We are reading the words here of the Apostle Paul because he did the opposite. He allowed his life to be poured out to the very end. And everything that we're doing here, everything that we're saying and exercising as a body of Christ, as a church, is contrary to a culture which would hold on and be selfish. That would be about self-aggrandizement and cool and do you fit in the culture and club and all of that. The gospel says to the culture, get off of me. I don't want your worldliness and your selfishness and all the nastiness, not to mention all the demons that come with that, sticking to me. I want to live in this lifetime free. I want to love. I want to live. I want to pour my life out as a drink offering. And you have to internalize the time of my departure has come belongs to every man and every woman listening right now. And so the Apostle Paul knew this. He knew this pouring out. He knew this. If you've lived a good life, then you've lived the poured out life. You've lived the poured out life if you've lived a good life. I shared at another time a favorite hashtag of mine on Instagram is called Dad Gang. And I love this hashtag because it started with a bunch of young African-American dads who were sort of a little bit sort of put off by mainly a bunch of white people telling them, you're such a good father. A young black father would be at a park with his kid playing ball or doing kind of the super involved dad thing. And some white family or some white couple would come and say, that's so beautiful and wonderful. And so a few young guys just chose not to take any offense at that. And then, in fact, they decided to be an inspiration and say, okay, well, we're going to start an Instagram hashtag called hashtag Dad Gang. And we're going to ask every man out there doing something inspiring with your family, something inspiring with your kids, then send in a picture. Send in a video. First one I ever saw was this one dad, and he's got a baby right there. Baby, I don't know, maybe 6 months old. And the dad is actually dancing. And the little baby boy is actually dancing to the dad's arms. And then the dad does a couple of moves like this. He goes, ha! And the baby goes, ha! One really, really buff, fit dad in a tank top, had six kids like climbing all over him like this in a pyramid. It's really a cool picture. And on it goes. That's a poured out life. It's a poured out life. Our temptation when we talk this way, and I know it happens to me, my friends. I'm really going to be very candid. This really happens to me. When I tell you to pour your life out, what do you feel? Do you feel like really full? I'm really full today, Pastor. That's a great day to pour my life out. Do you feel that? I'm here to tell you that often when Jesus asks that of me, I don't feel that. Like I sometimes work with God, like, God, could you ask me to pour my life out when I feel really full? You know what his answer usually is? No. I want you to pour your life out when I ask you to pour your life out, and I will fill you. I want you to trust me that I will actually be sufficient for you, that I will pour in my life into you, that I will sustain you in every single aspect of life. But those feelings of loneliness are nonetheless real. But I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. You're not alone now, and you've actually never been alone. God has always been right there. You have those feelings, they are true, they are legitimate feelings, but God has always been right there. He's never forgotten about you. He's never left you behind. You're actually never alone. But God does things to help us understand these words, where Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. None of that is without some heat being put on it by God. So I have a few things to say, but you can't judge me for them. Can't judge me for this. Okay? In a small way, in a fun way for me, I've gotten into cast iron cooking. Anybody with me? Yeah, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. So I was some people filled with the Holy Spirit today. Thank you. Okay, so the real joke is that that my entire family would tell you about is dad is cooking. He never cooks. In fact, he's usually a really bad cook. He wastes food, and he's got all this stuff going on, and he makes a huge mess, and he doesn't always clean up. So dad is cooking. Okay, so I don't know what happened, but some of you have been with me on this journey, but I got a cast iron pan, and I found out that basically you can't destroy the pan. You know, you buy these other stick pans or non-stick pans, and that thing that always says non-stick pan, I have found that the non-stick pan eventually becomes sticky. I don't know why they call it a non-stick pan. So I got this cast iron pan. So now I'm on YouTube, and now I have new cast iron friends, you know, into this, like, fraternity, like, people are into this. So listen, when you get a cast iron pan, they call it seasoning. If you know what seasoning a cast iron pan is, raise your hand. You with me? Okay. Wow, all of you are my Jesus-loving friends. Okay, well, I didn't know this. I had to learn this. So seasoning a cast iron pan means that you're going to actually put, basically, very simple terms, a liquid in it like an oil. You're going to rub it around a little bit, and you're going to put the flame on really good. Now, a guy like me, that's really simple instructions, so I can follow that. Put the oil in, rub it around, heat on high. Yes. Over time, that seasons the pan. Now, I decided to be a Jesus-loving brother, and I seasoned mine by being a good Gentile and cooking lots of bacon. That's how you season a pan. I fought the good fight. You know what that means? Somebody put oil in your pan of life, and they rubbed it all around, and they turned the heat up. I've kept the faith means that somebody poured that oil in again, and they rubbed it all around, and they turned the heat up even higher. How am I doing? And yet we call that mechanically, technically, with a cast iron, we call that seasoning. Because when you do that, and I told you I didn't mind with bacon, who's coming over to my house afterwards, right? That cooked flavor, and I know that now as a guy who didn't care anything about that, that cooked flavor gets into the pan. And so everything I make now has a little bit of that seasoning in it. And so now because the Spirit of God has poured the oil of gladness in your life in good season and bad season, as God has poured the blood of Christ in you, and as he's turned up that heat, the things that now go into your life taste like Jesus Christ. They have the aroma, Paul says in Corinthians. It has the flavor of God and not of you. I'd like it to be another way as a human being. This is the path of redemption of Christ that brings glory to him. And it is actually the only play and playbook in there for you to have a beautiful and happy life. I struggle personally to read the words right here in your Bible. Can you read them with me? I finished the race. And I kept the faith. You understand those words, and then there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Everything I'm doing, everything my wife is doing, everything we're doing here as a church is to have these words true in our lives with a sacred fire. These words are the marriage of Christmas, the Christmas story, and the cross. The marriage of the Christmas story and the cross is right here. Let me talk about fighting the faith and fighting the good faith. A few words for you, my friends. You have to understand this phraseology, I fought the good fight. It is not God's will for you to fight every fight. First point. Everybody say yes. Can't fight every fight. Not every battle is yours. Battle belongs to the Lord. So I say that, and I'm just going to touch on something very sensitive briefly. You know I love politics. You know I love being engaged in that. Not every corner of that belongs to you and me. Stay the course. Stay at the cross. Can't speak out about everything and everything and everything and everything and expect to be a good witness and to finish the race. God has the United States of America. In case you're wondering. And he has the state of California, even though it might not look like it today, but he does. He holds this church in his hands. And your life and my life together. Not every fight is your fight. Second, the finish line, it comes quickly. That's a little sobering to say, but it's true. The finish line. Finish line of life. It comes quickly. I enjoy always being able to say hello. I'm deeply, deeply, deeply touched by how often now I don't know about last goodbyes. That finish line. It comes quickly. Apostle Paul knew this. This is why he could say there's laid up for me this crown. The crown, I'll give you two references very easily, are found in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. They're a little different. The crown of righteousness in chapter 2, verse 10, just says that we actually get this crown of righteousness, that when you grab it, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, you actually have this life. So it's a phraseology of salvation. It's an explanation of eternal life. And it comes in the context of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, on those who actually allowed their life to be poured out. So it's consistent with the Bible saying. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, there's something fascinating in the transaction that happens that's really beautiful. We get these crown of righteousness. We get this crown, we get these crowns, and we pour them out before God. We take them and we give them. It's a beautiful act of worship. Paul now is going to say in the rest of the chapter, hello and goodbye to some friends. Some are good friends, some are bad friends, actually. Really fascinating in the Bible, there's a few of these. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he loves his church, and he actually tells the church, hey, there's some girls, and they're actually fighting in church. And it's kind of really fascinating as he says this as a man, as he looks, and here's all he says to the church, hey, you know what? Help them. Like, that's all he says. Like, not how to or what should be done. He says, just help them. And he names them. Here Paul is going to name a few. He says, do your best to come to me soon, Timothy. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. I don't know if you and I appreciate the forward nature of Scripture. Because, you know, if I was writing Scripture, I would not say that. I don't think if I call somebody out, you know, and name them that way. For all eternity, right here, Demas, you deserted Paul. The word deserted is the idea of absolute, complete, and total abandonment at the worst moment of time. This word, deserted. So he just didn't do Paul wrong. Whatever was going on, Paul was at his most vulnerable moment, and he took off on him. Whatever the context, whatever it means. So he just says to Timothy, do your best to come for me, because Demas, who we probably thought, all of you thought, would be with me and faithful, he's in love with this present world. He's deserted me. His other friend, Crescens, has gone to Galatia. I really like that name, Crescens. I don't know why. Just sounds cool. Galatia is modern-day Turkey. Titus to Dalmatia. That's not an animal. That is actually modern-day Croatia. It's actually along the coast there. Luke alone is with me, from whom we get the gospel of Luke, Paul's faithful companion. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. This is fascinating because Mark actually hurt Paul's feelings earlier. He was a younger man. He couldn't keep up the pace of ministry, and he actually hurt Paul's feelings. And Paul's response was, get away from me. I want nothing to do with you, you big sissy. I want nothing to do with you. That's a 70s word, by the way, sissy. Barnabas goes, okay, so Apostle Paul, you want to think about this a little bit? Like, you know, you realize you, like, nobody wanted to be with you. You were actually a religious terrorist. And so you were like, you actually killed people. And I brought you to the church and I introduced you to the love and people forgave you. Like, you killed people in the church, Paul. You killed them and they actually forgave you of murdering their family, and they actually let you be their pastor. So could you think about that for a moment? You know what the answer was? No. Get that sissy away from me. Now decades go by. Paul's older, he's more mature. Says, hey, you know that young man that I did wrong? Bring him. Would you bring him over? Would you bring him over? I'd like to try and reconcile and be with him again. You and I have people we have to still reconcile with. So get after it. That finish line comes soon. That's important to God. Sometimes is the difference between revival and even great ministry and not. Paul will mention his friend Tychicus, great name from Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and also the books and above all the parchments. Begin to see his intellectual nature. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Look what it says here, church. Could you look, please, in your Bible? If we get this right, we will rise up and be the church. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Who's going to do it? The Lord. Many of the problems that I've ever brought upon myself have been violating this principle right here. I'm confident that if I hear your life story, you have the same drama. It's within our humanity to say, I have got to go take care of business and give a big whoop. And then say, Jesus loves you. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. That word great is our word for mega. Mega. He mega hurt me. He mega broke my heart. He mega did me wrong. Okay. I leave that with you, Lord. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Can you see that phrase? Verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. The Lord stood by me, and the Lord will send you beautiful people that will strengthen you and help you to stand. Here's a phrase, I just want to mention this for a few moments. So it's the very end of verse 17. Paul says, so I was rescued from, can you see in your Bible? I was rescued from what? The lion's mouth. The lion's mouth. This is one of those where we go, wait, what just happened? When were you in the lion's mouth? When did that happen to you? What part of your life? Paul, we know so much about you. When were you in the lion's mouth? You know what he's going to say? I don't have time to tell you everything. When you follow Jesus, you have so many wonderful, righteous Jesus stories to tell, we can't tell them all. Like some of you people, like I see what you do for the Lord. I just go, that's amazing. We need to hear more about that. We need to talk more about that. We need to put you on a YouTube channel. We need to record this. We need to do this. It's like there's not even time to do all of that. Your stories in Christ become so amazing. Here Paul has a one-off. I was rescued from the lion's mouth. No big deal. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He mentions a few friends and a few other people. I'm going to get after it this way as I wind and land our plane here. When the Soviet Union was still in existence, my wife and I spent a few months there. We lived in Moscow when there was no traffic in Moscow because nobody could buy a car. That's the communist regime. Also, a period of time when they hurt Christians badly. Then we lived in Leningradia. That's Leningrad. Now it's St. Petersburg. So we go that far back. So in Moscow, there's the changing of the guard. And there's Lenin's tomb is there. So there's Lenin's tomb. He's like venerated as a god. And it's the coolest thing ever. But these guards would come out like mechanical robots. And I mean, I'm telling you, I would just go there to just try and watch it and watch it. And you're watching and you're watching. And there's a group of guards. There's a group of guards. There's a guard standing still. And they do these motions and whoop, they change the guards out. And you go, what just happened? How do they do that? I mean, this thing was downtime, this changing of the guard, this routine. And people would come from all over the world and gather. We'd set our watches by it. Hey, let's get on the train. Let's go check out. Let's get off on the tram there. Let's go watch this thing. And we'd watch it. You go, wow, did you figure that out? No, I didn't figure it out. I mean, time after time. People would come from all over the world to watch this. People would come from all over the Soviet Union to watch this. You know what is a crazy maker of all of that? When you went to see Lenin's tomb, his body was decomposed. There was nothing there except a decomposed carcass. When we say we worship Jesus, it's because there's an empty tomb, and the reason why there's nothing there is because he was resurrected from the dead. According to the scriptures, on the third day, and he would spend the next few months actually healing people, proclaiming people, and telling everybody about him. And he would stand there with the boys and he would minister to them. And then he gives them the last proclamation he ascends into heaven. And an angel has to say, what are you guys doing looking up? You got work to do and get busy doing it. Because in the same way he left, in the same way he's coming back. Peter would say, well, we can't go anywhere yet because Jesus told us to hang out for a few more days because he said the Holy Spirit's going to land upon us. And they would wait for the Holy Spirit to land upon them and they'd be baptized of the Holy Spirit and boom, the church would get going. We don't worship someone who is still in the tomb. We worship someone resurrected from the dead. And his resurrected life is now our life. And all of our sins can be forgiven. All of our orientations of our minds can be actually transformed. And everything that we hope for in this life, we can have hope in Christ. It's an eternal life. My friends, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask Jesus to be that center of your life. Because I know finish lines come quickly. I know today is a day of salvation. And I know Christmas is right around the corner. And the internet doesn't have anything accurate to say about it. Give toys, give gifts, give everything. Christ be that focus. Okay, pray with me. Let me just pray over us to begin. Lord Jesus, I pray now that as we turn our hearts afresh to a very real moment with you, how I pray, God, that your gospel truth would enter our lives and our minds, that we would know you, the power of your resurrection, and whatever hardship or suffering that we endure, that you would be our God, our Prince of Peace, our God of peace, and our victor over every difficulty and sadness that we could ever experience. So I pray for your church now, God, gathered in your name. I pray for those of you right here who need to know Jesus. Like you need to know. You're not fooling around. You need to know Jesus Christ. If that's anybody here, I just want you to raise your hand right where you're at because I'm going to pray for you. You say, man, I don't know if I really know this God. Then raise your hand. That's a bold move, my brother. Thank you. Anybody else saying, I don't know if I really know this God? Anybody else have that courage to say that? Could you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Thank you. So listen, if that's you, I just want you to just repeat after me in your heart and with your mouth these very words, because if you believe it and will trust God with it, he will do a miracle in your life right now. He will actually enter you and he will seal you and he will baptize you with love and every form of shame will be snapped off of you because the cross will do its supernatural work. And so if that's you, just repeat the simple prayer with me. Agree with me now. Here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. Just say that in your heart and even with your lips. Repeat it out loud. Lord Jesus, I need you. Help me, God, and forgive my sin. Be now the center of my life. Heal my mind. Heal my heart. Heal my body. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And take all of me, God, that I would have all of you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, so if you prayed that prayer in any way, shape, or form, I'm gonna dismiss you guys. I want to talk to you guys right here. All right, I love you all. Love you all very much. Jesus Christ, all the more. Very short season here. We're going to get through it. I got really good things coming for you. Be blessed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.